Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to Access All Areas live on FUBAR Radio. Bobby Laurie is here, and we have got Stephen back in the house. How are you, Stephen?
I am doing just fine. How are you, Bob?
Really good. You know, we're living our best life in here, guys. I'm dancing away to a bit of Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas.
It's definitely the earliest I've ever heard it, but I'm going to go with it. I don't care.
Even in May, it's a tune.
Who gives a shit? Yeah. Get I'm down
her,
for it.
Yeah, get her them royalties. I don't think she's a bit worried.
No, but, I don't think she's worried. No, definitely not.
Oh, all right, so you missed last week's show. You were out and about.
Yeah, I was actually at Mamma Mia. Ooh. It's either called The Experience or The Party. I can't remember. At the O2, which was super duper fun. It's like you have dinner and the performance kind of happens all around you. Yeah, it was really fun. Would recommend.
Was you singing a lot? I'm guessing they do all the classics.
Yeah, all the classics. You got your dancing queens and your voulez-vous and all that. And yeah, just got, you know, a little bit tipsy and had a dance. And yeah, it was all good fun.
I love that. And was there a few dancing queens there?
I would say about 45% of the audience was dancing queens, yeah.
And did you meet anyone special?
No, none of that. But we did. We had to sit on the table with two other journalists who I hadn't met before, and that was actually quite nice. They were lovely, lovely ladies. So they were up dancing as well. So no complaints.
Joe,
no
night out.
Yeah, it was a bit. There were some celebs there. Saw Nadia Sawala from Loose Women.
Oh, did you? Yeah, how was she?
She was good. And there was someone else who I can't remember. So that was great.
I've heard it is because this is like they've done it a couple of times now, haven't they?
It's there for like permanently, I think. But now they've extended it until September.
I'm going to have to go because the set looks incredible as well.
Yeah, they basically they make it out like you're in Mamma Mia. So it's like a Greek taverna vibes. And they also crank up the temperature. So it's like that when you go in, they're like, can we take your coats? Because inside it's Greece. So it's 25 degrees. And you're like, OK, yes, you can.
So you rock up at the O2 and you walk in and you're in Mykonos.
Basically, yeah.
Lovely.
No complaints there.
No.
Yeah, it was a really
fun
night.
The 45% gay men, I guess.
Exactly,
it was the Mykonos vibes.
No tops off, though. That probably wouldn't be allowed.
Shame.
you're not going now?
No, I'll still go, just for the ABBA music.
Yeah,
I'm about the music. But it's lovely to have you back, Stephen.
Good to be here.
And we're in for a really good show today.
We are, aren't we? Very exciting. We have the Apprentice winner. Marnie Swindoll is coming up first, speaking to us via Zoom. And then maybe last week I did a little chat with Israel's Eurovision entry this year, Noah Carell, which we'll have at the end of the show.
And that is so up your street, isn't it?
It was so up my street. I'm delighted that I've got to speak to two Eurovision acts this year.
Living your best life, Stephen.
Living my best life. No complaints here. Noah was lovely. Her song is called Unicorn. She's actually in Liverpool now. They've started rehearsals for the show because only a fortnight away. Well, less than a fortnight, a week and a half away. So she's been rocketing up the odds because her performance looks like it's going to be chef's kiss.
She's on fire.
She's on fire, that girl.
So is she in your... What's your prediction? Early doors, I know.
I'm going to say Loreen from Sweden's going to win because she was the one that won back in 2012 with Euphoria.
Bit of a tune.
And she's back this year with a song called Tattoo. And then Finland, I think, are going to do really well. And I would say Noah actually is definitely going to be a potential. I don't know if a winner, but definitely like a top five.
Top four, I mean, that ain't bad.
Not bad out of like 36 countries or whatever it is.
You can't go wrong. Well, excited to find out. We're here for it, babes.
Indeed.
Well, let's do a bit of showbiz.
Let's.
What a week.
As ever.
What's caught your eye?
Well, first of all, I guess we should talk about the fact that television legend Jerry Springer passed away.
Oh,
I was a bit surprised by that.
It's so weird. I never ever expected Jerry Springer was going to die because which sounds a really weird thing to say, but such an iconic TV personality. And kind of, if you think about it, set a bar for them kind of shows, which obviously when by the time us here in the UK, we had Jeremy Kyle, didn't we? Which was a similar-ish kind of vibe. But I remember growing up as a kid, Jerry Springer was just... next level. But I was fully entertained. I would go as far as say it was almost like the original reality TV show.
Yeah, it was truly shocking. It was like watching one of those real life magazines like come to life, wasn't it? Like Take a Break or something like
it's
that.
It's like one of them weddings you go to and someone's got too pissed and they're having a scrap and they're throwing chairs and stories that came out of people's mouths.
That was what I was going to say. There was a lot of like, oh, I accidentally had sex with my sister or something like that, isn't it? Way too much. You wouldn't get that on the UK.
My husband's having sex with the car exhaust and things like that. And he had a really fit security guard. I think he now hosts a similar show.
Does he?
He was quite fit, but I mean, how many years ago?
Well, Probably about 20 years ago.
When I was at school. All right. I'm 22, Steve. But yeah, but he was quite a bit of a salt. And I think he now kind of does a similar thing. But just of its kind. And very, very sad. And I think especially because, I mean, I don't know if it was public knowledge, but I never knew that he was ill.
No. I think it was supposedly quite a short illness, if I remember rightly. He had pancreatic cancer. But it wasn't, I don't think it was particularly big public knowledge. A sad loss to the TV industry, and I think his effect on TV is still being felt today.
Absolute icon. Now I've got to talk about it because wherever I can get a Kardashian, I'll get a Kardashian, and this ain't Kardashian related, but there was one or two on the carpet, should we say. I would say red carpet, but it wasn't a red carpet. It's of course the Met Gala. It's taken place in New York, so we had Kylie turn up, Jenna, not Minogue.
Yeah, I was going to say. Be specific,
Bob. We're of that generation. Someone says Kylie, we think Minogue.
Yeah, 100%.
Do you know what I mean? Kim was there.
She was.
Dripping in her diamonds and beads.
Yeah.
Just some of the outfits. Have you seen the cockroach meme first?
Yes, but yeah, so there was a Karl Lagerfeld theme, wasn't it? So the late Chief Chanel designer, and it was all like his themed around him
and his cat
Choupette.
Yeah. That cat, do you know that cat inherited over $1 million? I think 1.3 million.
Yeah, he was obsessed with that cat.
How much Sheba is that cat eating to get 1.3 mil?
Well, I actually watched a documentary about him maybe last week, and the cat's supposedly worth over $3 million. Like dollars, pounds, I'm not sure.
I'll take $3 million, let alone, do you know what I mean? Dollars.
Yeah, who cares?
What's the cat spending it?
I'm going to guess the cat isn't popping down the shops.
Because, she ain't got a PIN number. But then what happens if that cat, God forbid, something happens to her, she goes to bed or she has a bad bit of fish and she don't wake up? Who's in her will? Who's the cat leaving it to?
I hope the cat's got a solid ironclad lawyer that can help sort that problem out. But
I'll look after her.
I'm sure you will. Get out of my way. I'm first in line. But there was actually someone that dressed up as Choupette. Well, there were two people.
Yes.
There was Doja Cat, which I think is obviously quite funny. And then there was Jared Leto, who wore like a full Masked Singer style costume with a head. And then took the head off, and he still looked amazing underneath. He had all his makeup done and just looked amazing.
Yeah, glam as fuck underneath. Lifted the head off.
Yeah, you'd never know. I mean, you must be a bit sweaty under there.
Oh,
but
oh God, I would have thought so.
But the
effort, do you know what I mean? And the detail, and the meowing in response to questions.
Oh, yeah, Doja Cat, I saw that. Yeah, she was doing an interview with, like, Vogue Germany or something.
Yeah, done an interview with Vogue, but would only meow. I mean, only in America.
Yeah, you know it's very
imagine going
true.
To the NTAs and just meowing.
There's very, very few people that could get away with that. But I guess the Met Gala is on those places you could. There were some really impressive looks. I thought Lizzo looked gorgeous.
Oh, didn't she?
Obviously, the Kardashians looked amazing. As you said, trying to think of who else I was impressed by. There was an interesting no-show, I thought, in Harry Styles. Because
what's your thoughts on that?
Apparently he didn't come because both Olivia Wilde, his ex-girlfriend, and Emrata was there too, and he was pictured kissing her recently in Japan.
Lucky cow.
Yeah, so apparently he avoided because best not to be around two women you've recently been with, I guess, if you're Harry Styles.
I I mean, I do love the Harry Styles.
It would have been good to see what he'd have done. I bet he would have looked very good.
See, if I'd have been there, I'd have said to both of them, piss off. Harry, let's go and have a gin and tonic. And come on, babe.
I'm sure you'd be the only one there that was saying that to him.
I'll take you home. We'll talk about home. Let's have a bit of nostalgia. We'll talk about England. Reflect on the X Factor days.
Yeah, I bet he probably used to watch Towie back in the day when
I bet he did, yeah. And to hear my voice, I reckon he'd love my voice. He'd think, oh, that sounds like home, Bob.
Yeah, I bet.
Sack them girls off.
It's time for the Harry and Bobby, Harry and Bobby show. Yeah, I mean,
iconic.
I'd like to see it.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it was very impressive, I think.
Really impressive. And I mean, it's one of them events. I mean, it is like the governor of events when it comes to the States. And celebs just go all in, don't they, with their outfits. So yeah, I'm always here for the outfits, and it's
me
always
too.
Nice to see what goes on, and it always delivers. Now, again, it's been quite a week for showbiz news, but not quite showbiz news, but kind of like just global royal news. Mm. We can't not talk about the coronation that's going to be taking place on Saturday. Old Charlie boy is getting a crown on it.
Yeah, if you like it, then you should have put a crown on it.
Should have put a crown on it, and Chaz has.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's finally happening, I guess, because although he's been officially king, becomes officially king since the moment that the Queen dies, it's inherited from him straight away. This is his crowning. Which is also they use in birth, don't they, that phrase. We'll have the joy of watching him and Queen Consort Camilla at Westminster Abbey getting the Auburn Scepter and the crown spot on their heads, because they're officially going to become king and queen, like I just said.
It's mad, isn't it? I mean, and I bet they won't stand there and take a selfie.
No,
see,
but
if you put a crown on my end, the minute it's on my head, I'm thinking, right, get a photo for the gram.
Yes, fair enough. But I think there's going to be enough pictures of him taken on
the day. Yeah, I think one or two people will have cameras.
I don't think he'll have to be like, could you send me that picture?
Has anyone got that? Can you
can you WhatsApp me it?
Yeah. Airdrop it just to keep the quality of that crown.
Yes, that's a good point, actually. He'll probably want that.
Will you be watching, Stephen?
Well, I'm in a bit of weird.
You ain't a royalist, are you?
No, I used to be, but no, not anymore. Yes, I will probably watch because I like history, right? And it's a big historic moment. I quite like to see. You know, I watched all the Queen's funeral, which was long, by the way. It was like 5 hours from start to finish.
I remember watching a coffin drive down that long road from Scotland.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like following it with a helicopter, weren't they, on BBC News?
It was a long drive.
So I probably will watch it. I think I said on the show before, I'm going to the concert on the Sunday, which is a bit weird to say for a Republican.
Is there for Bette Midler?
I am there for Bette Midler, and I don't mind a bit of take that either, to be honest.
How do you feel about Robbie not turning up?
Well, it's a shame, right? But they are a kind of a threesome now, aren't they? They don't need Robbie, don't you think?
No, yeah, they don't need him. It would have been nice for Rob to turn up, but
turn up.
But I mean, he's a busy boy. I mean, he's doing all the Felix adverts, isn't he, and stuff. So he's got a lot on. But I would have liked, because obviously I think we have a similar age, aren't we, Stephen?
Yeah.
Where the iconic photo of Jerry pinching Charlie's arse. Do you remember?
You want the Spice Girls back?
I wanted the Spice Girls to turn up. Do a bit of wannabe.
I think
spice up your life.
I agree with you. I think the problem is that a lot of people are kind of a bit about royalty. They were fine when it was the Queen because she'd been around forever, and I think people kind of respected that. And you know, Charles is new, but also a man in his 70s, right? I don't know. I don't think he sort of brings the same. People don't feel as endearing towards him as they did the Queen, and I think people would be quite keen to distance themselves. It's interesting that the biggest performers of the night are all Americans for the concert.
I mean, this is true, because if you look at the lineup, I mean, bar take that, we haven't really got any of our iconic
Katy Perry, Lionel Richie, Bette Midler.
And we ain't shading you, Katy, if you're listening, and you're always welcome on FUBAR. You know we love you.
Of course.
But,
no one.
We ain't really got anyone waving the flag for us.
Not even a Rita Ora or an Ed Sheeran.
Nah. And I have said a couple of times now, look, but it's a bit late, Charlie, now, because I'm going to see Sheridan Smith. I'm taking Mum to the theatre. You've missed the boat, babe.
Oh, you're going to see
Shirley Valentine.
Oh,
yeah, I've got to go see Shirley.
Oh, lovely.
I really want to see Sheridan Smith. Absolutely amazing actress. But even I would have turned up, Stephen, and belted out a song.
I'm going to guess on the list, though, Bob, you probably would have been quite far down.
Yeah, so low, I weren't even on it, I think.
You were turning the pages.
Yeah, so however many declined.
Didn't get that low. That's how low I am.
Even when the fuckers have all declined, Bobby's name still ain't there. No invite. But I will have a little flick through. And of course, it's going to be all over social, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I will be uptown, but for Sheridan Smith.
Yeah, fair.
But no tea, no shade, Charlie. Love ya. What's your thoughts, quickly, before we move on, Stephen? Obviously, we all know now, because it's been rumoured, isn't it? Is Harry and Meghan coming?
Mm.
Now we know Meghan ain't.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? Is it right that Harry's coming on his own? Should Meghan be here?
Well, I think it's the best thing to do for, like, no drama, right? But apparently he's a flying visit in and out. I think people next week are going to be sort of really pulling apart what he did on the day, what Harry did, what he looked like, what he wore, what he wears. Will he wear a uniform? Will he wear medals? Will he just wear a suit?
He's going to look Where's fit, he sitting? Whatever he wears.
Of course
though,
he will. Of course he will. But now he's not a working royal. What does that mean? There's going to be lots and lots of, like, looking into the reasons why things were done the way they were.
Mm.
He can't really avoid that. He had to come. It's his dad.
Do you think he'll get booed when he walks in?
No.
If Meghan was here, would they boo her?
Well, good question. I don't think so, because I think on the day what will actually happen is people will be quite...
Respectful,
yeah. Yeah. Apart from, you know, there's going to be protests. People have been quite open about that, and, you know, that's people's right. I think it's going to be an interesting... week afterwards, in the sort of dissecting of what he did on the day, because once Charles is king and the concert's done, people are going to move on to the next story, and I'm pretty sure that'll be Harry.
I'm then waiting for Harry to WhatsApp me and go, Bob, come and sing a song for my dad. Do you know what I mean? Katie's gone.
Bob, you're going to have to let it go. You're going to have to let it go. This is not going to happen.
I've got to do an Elster. I've got to let the fucker go. I'm just gutted. I wanted to turn up. I don't think I've even been to Windsor in my life.
Do you know what? I haven't either. I don't even know. How do you get back?
It looks posh.
It does look posh.
I bet the air is posh. You know when you can smell posh air?
Yeah. I'll be able to report back next Wednesday and tell you.
Do it, babe.
I've got a seated ticket.
I want the goss.
So...
she's got a seat.
I've got a seat, and I think I might not be too far away from the box. So
shut up. Don't you go after my Harry.
He won't be there. Harry's not going to the concert.
Yeah, he's back.
But I might be close to, like, Meghan. Sarah Ferguson or something. Who knows?
Oh, you can have her.
I guess we'll...
I don't think in terms of Meghan, just quickly, and I know everyone has got their... Especially since they've left and the way things have now gone, that's obviously made everything really awkward, and people go, well... It'd be hypocritical, blah, blah, blah. But I think in defence of Meghan, I think whatever she did, she was going to get annihilated when it comes to whatever she wore.
She
was either going to look like she turned up in a trackie, or she was trying to make all eyes be on her and steal the attention. Always going to go one way or the other. Yeah.
I think it's best. That's why I think it's probably best.
So, yeah, stay in Cali, babe. Do you know what I mean?
Celebrate Archie's birthday, because it's his fourth birthday, something like that, third, fourth.
Yeah,
third.
And I think she's quite happy with that decision. Well,
yeah, fair.
I mean, obviously, because it's quite a topical thing. It's a huge thing at the minute. Once in a lifetime for us. We've never lived through a coronation.
No.
I mean, we're cracking on a little
we
bit.
We probably will have another one after this in maybe 10 years' time, though. This won't be the only one we'll see.
God, I thought of that. I hope you're not listening, Charlie boy. Oh, God. Oh, yeah, this will then be Will's gig.
Yeah.
I wonder what he'll wear. Anyway, we'll talk about that when that time comes. Well, maybe, like, what, 15 years?
Probably something like that.
Yeah, but we'll still be here.
We've got this new interesting little section to do, haven't
we? Yes, babes.
We've got a new section. Bobby, you've been out and about today. So it is time for Bobby on the Street, where you are talking to some members of the public about what?
So our new segment is Bobby on the Street now. You know me. I love a chat.
You do.
So yeah. I'm out on the street, and every week I'm going to be talking about something a bit different. Well, this is, of course, Coronation Week.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know, will people be pledging their allegiance to the king?
Interesting. Well, let's find out. It is time for Bobby on the Street. And remember, he's the only Bobby you can trust.
Oi, oi.
Yes, I would like to pledge my allegiance. Yes, definitely. I like Charles. I love Charles. I think you'll make a fantastic king. For those who are loyal, they'll be there. Those who've got love for the king and his family, they'll be there. And I'm going to be one of them.
It'll probably be on in my house. I don't know. It's just not something I'm very interested in.
I think it's like a big part of British history, you know. I won't be watching it. I don't really like interest myself in that. But I know a lot of people, obviously parents will, grandparents, stuff like that. So.
No, absolutely not. But I will be enjoying the bank holiday. It's not really my thing. I don't feel super passionately either way, but like, I do think it's a bit of a waste of money. I think there's way more important things we could be spending the money on personally.
Of course I will. Yeah. I'd probably stand and cheer him with a glass of bubbles. I'll be watching at home at 11 o'clock and then I'll go off to King's Road in Chelsea.
No.
Not a fan?
No. It's pointless.
I'll be pledging my allegiance to democracy. I'm absolutely appalled that so much money is being spent on something so irrelevant when we've got children going to bed hungry, going to school hungry due to poverty and being hopeless. I cannot support it.
No, I won't be pledging anything. I don't like the royal family or the government. No, I won't even turn the TV on.
I'm quite uncomfortable doing that. Personally, I don't understand why we would be celebrating the coronation. I think it's a bit weird in this day and age. I understand it's part of our culture. In 100 years time, if you talk about like the queen, we're going to be thinking of Elizabeth still. She will define what it was to be a queen for like centuries to come, and I think that would, it would have been a great place to end things there.
I probably won't like personally sit down and watch it, but my parents definitely will.
Personally, I don't know if I'm going to watch it. I don't know if I'm bothered about it, but I know my mum and dad will.
I was a massive fan of the Queen and the royal family as I was growing up. But yeah, I mean, I like King Charles, but I'm not as excited as I thought it'd be. I think I would be more excited if it was William.
He's so old. We're all going to be alive for another coronation.
Are we?
Yeah.
When's that going to be?
When he's dead.
Oh yeah, he does die soon.
To William, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, we wouldn't mind William.
Yeah, but King Charles is so old. There's no point in him becoming king, innit?
Probably not. Sorry, King Charles.
Babes.
Interesting. So basically not a lot of people are that bothered.
That's quite, but I think, do you know what it is? I don't mean it's not bothered. I think there's a massive divide between ages.
Right.
I genuinely think that the older people are, they're more, that there's the history to it. But I think the younger, they like, when they're saying they don't want to put the TV on.
Yeah.
I mean, if I won't, and I will watch some clips of it.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of people say it's an outdated thing. So I don't know. It is history. And I do like a bit of history. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know a lot about Henry VIII.
Who doesn't? We grew up in the 90s.
I've been to Tower of London. Do you know what I mean? I'm so historical. It's crazy. But anyway, enough about Bobby the history teacher. It was really fun to do. And Bobby on the Street will be back next week. But time for our first guest. Let's go straight into it. We have got the lovely Marnie from The Apprentice.
Can we hear? Oh, wait.
FUBAR Radio presents Politics
Uncensored. They have real world impacts. That's predominantly what worries me. There isn't one day where I don't tweet something or put something out and I don't get the grooming gangs stuff underneath it in the general Islamophobia that exists in our politics. But we're also now seeing people being attacked on the way home from mosques, again, predominantly South Asian people being attacked, on a few occasions killed on the way home from mosques, particularly during Ramadan. We've also seen two MPs murdered in the last few years with the rise of political violence. So surely these politicians, whether it's Braverman, whether it's Starmer, whoever it is, and we've had Boris and Trump who really laid the ground for this, they know that this all has real world impact.
Every Thursday, FUBAR Radio.
How are you, Marnie, darling?
I'm good. How are you?
Really good. Thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Marnie, I've got to say up front, we actually have a mutual friend.
Who's that?
Amy Lowe.
Yes, She's just messaging me.
I used to be her boss.
You know what? I taught her to box. So.
Did you? Well, that all makes sense. Yeah, she was so excited when the show was on, like about how well you were doing and stuff. So, yeah.
She has been a ride or die from the start. She was one of the first people I taught, and she's still backing me now. So all my love to Amy.
Love that. So how has life been since winning The Apprentice? I mean, when you say that out loud, it must seem quite bizarre still.
Do you know, I still haven't said it out loud to myself yet. It's still, I know it's been a good few weeks now, but it still feels crazy.
Say it now, Marnie. I am the winner. Can I say it live on Football Radio?
I am the winner.
Yes, you are, Marnie. And very well deserved. You've been a busy girl.
Yes, I've been around the block, Bobby.
Well, I've been working the streets of London today, babe. We've got to do what we've got to do. How is it all still a bit of a whirlwind at the minute, darling?
Yeah, it is. Trying to run the business, which is still just a month or so old. Trying to keep up with the media. Trying to look glam whilst I'm doing it all. It's hectic, but I wouldn't change it for the world. I'm loving every single minute of it.
So explain a bit about what you're doing now, because once you've won the show, does it just kick in straight away? Because obviously you record the show a while before, don't you? So
yeah, it's pre-recorded, but the actual business side of things, getting down to it with Lord Sugar, figuring out what our next steps are, that all is happening in real time. So hence the bags under my eyes. A lot of sleepless nights just trying to make sure I'm doing him proud. And do what I set out to do.
And what is Alan like? Come on, let's spill the tea, Marn. Come on, darling, we're all friends here. Tell us.
He is exactly what you see on TV. What you see is what you get with
Grumpy.
Him. That's why I love it. Like, you know exactly where you stand. No messing around, no hairs and graces, which I think is the best way in business. Just be yourself, be honest.
You need a straight talker. I appreciate a straight talker. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm a gay man. Shocker. Exclusive. Gay man, straight talker. I would rather let someone know what time it is. Do you know what I mean? I can't do all the bitching and the snidey kind. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't.
100%. 100%. And you know what? It's funny you should say that, because one of the sayings in boxing is, you know, boxing is one of the most honest conversation two men can have, because there's nothing around it except what it is. You just get straight to it. And
to kicking the shit out of each other.
not kicking.
Oh, no, yeah, you can't kick in boxing, can you? You just got to clump each other.
Yeah, so what have you been doing the last... I know you said, like, sort of just getting things off the ground. What's that involve?
It's involved a lot of rubbing shoulders, to be honest.
Right. So you're meeting a lot of people. Is that what you mean?
Meeting a lot of people, meeting a lot of really elite pro boxers, which has been great for the credibility of the gym. Had the Eubanks down, I've had Joe Joyce down. So that has been really
amazing,
because it's bringing champions to the area, into the gym. Yeah, really good. Really good stuff.
Marn, I wanted to ask you, babe, because I think every year there's always a speculation or like, do you know what I mean? Everyone's always got something to say every series. And this year, the vibe was that, and I don't know if you've seen a lot of this on like social media and that, but they're all going on.
I've probably seen it.
But we know what social's like. As a whole, it's an amazing thing, but you can go down a rabbit hole of a bit of cray cray on socials. Let's have it right. But there's been criticism this year that the women on the show were caring too much about their appearance. What do you think about that?
I'm not having it. Why can women not have it all? Why can't we be great at business, strong-minded, intelligent, and look our best whilst doing it? I think it's an unfair criticism. I think a man in a sharp, tailored suit wouldn't get the same stick. So, yeah, I'm not having it.
Yeah, it's a fair point. And yeah. Do you think that women get more of that, having seen your own experience of it now? I mean, it's an obvious one, I guess.
Yeah, I think women take a little bit more heat. I think there's a misconception that you really can't be both. If you do care too much about your looks, you mustn't care enough about the business, and vice versa. But, you know, times change, things move on. We don't all have to be in grey drab suits anymore. We can mix things up. And if anything, I think that adds to businesswoman's personality and character. And you know, adds that layer of depth. So I'm here for it.
Absolutely.
The more colours in the boardroom, the better.
Yeah.
Isn't it funnier, even though in 2023, so many people still care about
Bobby,
what someone's wearing?
To hear you. Is there any way you guys can turn up? I've turned you up all the way.
Can you hear
here.
Me, darling?
Is that any better?
Is that better?
No.
Hold on, we're going to see what we
might
can
have,
do.
Might have
for
been
you.
Having some technical
there
issues.
Might be a technical difference.
Can you hear me okay?
No, you're both quiet.
Oh, it's your volume up.
Which is unusual.
You ain't. Yeah, I've never been called quiet before, Mon. I'll be honest. We're gonna have a little look at the volume. Can you hear me enough to? Do I sound like I'm whispering? I'm going to really project my voice. Can you hear me a little bit?
I can hear you. I'm
going to
have to lean in.
Oh, you lean, babe. So I wanted to ask. You know, we just touched upon social, and obviously not about the criticism about how you girls were looking, but how were you finding social as a whole post The Apprentice?
Well, I went into it. I didn't even have Twitter before we started, and everyone said, you know, get Twitter. Ooh,
dangerous.
It has ruined my life.
Yeah.
Worst mistake.
Was that the first social media platform you signed up for?
No.
I was going to say, fucking hell.
Twitter. I find that people are so quick to type and throw up an opinion, and it's so careless and reckless. And, you know, jokes aside, it can be a really hard place, and I think you need thick skin.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I've definitely been a mission getting through that.
Yeah, Twitter is something else. Do you know what I mean? I mean, all socials kind of have their pros and cons, but Twitter is just...
It's a cesspit.
Wow. Yeah, it is a beyond.
And you know what I find as well? It's always the ones that have got something to say. Then you go on their profile and... It's just a long list of moaning.
Yeah, or it's someone that every tweet they're abusing someone else off the telly.
Yeah.
Or they have in their profile like nothing but love and light or something.
Nothing but love and light. Love my 4 grandchildren. Yeah. And I think, all right, nanny. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, always a mummy. Yeah, always like a mummy nurse or something like that.
I've had people troll me terribly, and I've looked at their bios and it goes, oh, proud grandparent, proud nan, proud. And I think, God, if my nan was sat there trolling people, I'd go, what on earth's going on? Do you know what I mean? Like,
be devastated.
I don't know how people have the heart for it. Like, you know, everyone, most people are just out to make their life a little bit better and do themselves proud. I don't know how people have the heart to get on there and slam people to the extent they do as well. It's almost like a full-time job for some people.
Well, Lord Sugar's pretty big on Twitter, isn't he? And I know he's a big blocker. You get blocked quite easily by Lord Sugar. Do you find you're able to have quite a frank and deep, good conversation with him? Because he doesn't seem to like it if people criticise him, I will say. I mean, you're his business partner now, so I guess you can't say too much, but...
No, I think criticism is a very different thing, though, to having those honest conversations. And I think he does respect transparency and honesty and upfrontness. But as my mum always says, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Absolutely.
So I am forever a diplomat. I'll get my point across, but I'll try to do it. I'll try to pad it. Try to give it that sandwich effect, you know, nice, then the meat, then nice.
Yeah,
then.
Shit sandwich. I know it will. And I say exactly the same as your mum. I genuinely believe it isn't the words you say, it is how it's said. And I think sometimes that's why writing a text can sometimes come across not how... You know, some people speak in a certain way.
More blunt than...
Yeah, and I write, like whether it's a WhatsApp or a text or whatever, I write as I speak or on social media. So I'm one of them people. So people generally know where they are with me, but... Words, there's a lot said for tone. Do you know what I mean? So you could go, oh, I won't say live on air. I mean, we are uncensored, but there's certain words I ain't going to sit on here and say. But you could go, oh, blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I mean? Just in jest or laughing about something. But if you then read it, you'd be like, shit, he's just told me a new arsehole, that geezer. What's gone on? Do you know what I mean? But actually, it could just be done with love and light.
Yeah, I think Lord Sugar, I don't think he's a sensitive soul, so I think written or verbally, I think he could take it.
But so he ain't C-bombed you.
So I won't be criticising or anything like that.
You won't be C-bombing him on the WhatsApp. I'd love to see the response when them ticks go blue.
Oh yeah.
I want to see typing, and I'd be like, shit.
You'd never hear a response again. I think that would be business over. But speaking of your gym, it's called Bronx, right?
Yes.
It's open, right?
It is. It's open. Been open for just short of 2 months now. It's in Southeast London, in Camberwell. Amazing.
How's it going?
Have it open. It's been a long time in the making.
How is it going?
Good, really good. Like I said, as well as having those pros and those elite come down for press events, we're also getting a lot of the local community come out, which
amazing.
Is the heart of it. That's what it really is about. So, yeah, getting there.
And babe, you run like several like female only boxing classes. What inspired you to do that? Because I mean, that's quite a niche, isn't it?
Do you know what? It happened so organically. Back when I was competing and boxing, there were no women on the scene. So the coach where I boxed, he said, why don't you run some sessions, try and draw more women into the sport, in the hope that maybe they would go on to be my sparring partners, fight me one day maybe. So that was the incentive behind it. And I just saw how much of an impact it was having on these women, these everyday women that would never in a million years consider boxing, and they were just falling in love with it. Well, and do you know what? Even when they weren't falling in love with the boxing, just being there, just being around a group of other girls, they were loving it. And I just wanted to keep replicating that.
There's definitely something to be said for community-based sports yeah. stuff. I'm a member of an LGBT rowing club, and although I can't row at the moment because I've got two buggered elbows, I certainly couldn't box. Can you imagine me with
he fell off his bike, man. He went arse over the handlebars.
Yeah, so I'm not.
He's had a terrible time.
Not in particularly good shape at the moment, but it's such an amazing feeling when you're involved in that sort of. It's more than just the sport, isn't it?
I've been involved in boxing gyms, the previous one I was at, and we had women who were coming for 3 years and their boxing got no better. but they kept coming.
But they had a lovely time.
Love being in that environment.
Yeah, exactly that.
It means a lot to people, you know, even though boxing is very much about fighting and being in the ring by yourself, the camaraderie, the energy in the gym, it's like a family, and it's just so important. And my whole business idea was trying to recreate that feeling and make it scalable.
Do you think there's still a misconception for girls that box? Like, if someone turned up, again, I don't want to say in our calm gym, but say someone turned up, she got out of her car, full set of eyelashes, she's got her hair extensions, a set of acrylics on, contour to the gods. Do people kind of think girls that box aren't glam?
Yeah, exactly. I think there's massive issue around that. I found that whenever I was on the boxing scene and I had fights coming up, there'd be a real element of women trying to sort of lean into this masculine space and sort of walk all sort of henched up. And I'm a huge advocate, again, just like with business, you can do both. You can be an absolute warrior in the ring, but super feminine, super glam. You can really, really do both. There's no limits. I don't think we should encourage people to have to fall into these brackets.
No.
If you want to be a boxer, you have to be masculine, or if you want to be feminine, it doesn't make you a great fighter. You can be fluid. You can be between it all.
Cool. And that's what always surprises me, because some of the naughtiest fights I've ever seen are women. Do you know? And I've seen a few fights in the time, but. Girls
are we talking about boxing now, Bobby?
Yeah, or just outside the club.
I mean, I can't confirm or deny. It could be a boxing ring, could be a nightclub, could be a bar. But what I'm saying is girls can fight. And some people go, oh, no, she's too pretty to be a fighter. Tell you what, don't ever underestimate a girl. Do you know what I mean? But I love that. Girl power. We're not promoting going knocking.
There's more to hold on to.
I've seen Easy Locks. Other brands are available. But I've seen Easy Locks ripped out. I've seen stilettos pulled off. I've seen the lot.
But you wouldn't do that at a boxing match.
No, because it's done professionally. Yeah. It's we're following rules here when it comes to boxing. And that's how it has to be.
How would you encourage someone who's nervous about something like boxing? Because you can do it and not necessarily get in a ring, right?
And you'll be surprised how many women start off thinking, oh, I'm just here to try it, just here for fitness, just trying to lose a bit of weight before my summer holidays, and give it a few months, and they really get the bug for it, and then they start thinking, hold on a minute, could I ever go at fighting? Could I do it? And I love that moment, because you really see that spark in their eyes and that dynamic change. But like you were saying, Bobby, everyone's got a fighter in them. Doesn't matter how glam you are. That's the beautiful thing about boxing, is it's such an innate emotion to like have that tension and want to release it. So no matter how much of a 10 out of 10 you are, you still have that fighter in you. So I'm just here to try and bring it out of everyone.
Do you, and I'm really interested to know the answer to this, because I think a lot of people base their age on things. They go, I'm too old to do that. But people, like, even when you're not old, people go, oh, I should have done that from a kid. Are you ever too old to take up boxing?
Never, never. I mean, there are limits around competing, and, you know, for safety reasons, there's an upper age limit there. But there's never any rules around when you should start, when you should have a go at it. Because it's not just about, and I said it in the show, it's not just about the fitness, it's about the feelings, it's not about the sport. If anything, learning boxing is almost the secondary element and the secondary benefit. The real benefit is finding your people, finding a place where you belong, and just what it can do for your mind, truly, what it can do for your
It's them natural life. Endorphins, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like when people train, I've never grown up being a footballer or a rugby player, which is a shock, I know, but or I'd never really stepped foot in, I'd never done anything, to be honest. When the boys were having a kickabout on a Saturday, I was running around River Island, man. I won't lie. That's where I was. I weren't at West Ham or White Hart Lane. I was at Top Man in River Island. But now I do go to the, what it does for your head, do you know what? And even when you're you're sweating, and I'm not one of these people that look glam in the gym. You know, you get like these just Adonises, and I look at them and I'm like, God, you just look beautiful. And I'm just like a sweaty pig. But when I leave, I walk out that gym, there's no feeling like it. Do you know what I mean? And it must be the same, isn't it? You just get that natural high.
Listen, I'm with you. Sports, gym, fitness, it's not my bag. That's not what I'm here for. I'm just here for boxing. When I was in high school, I was on the netball team's B teams, and I was the reserve. That's how far away I was from
Bless you, I don't even think the boys had me on reserve for football.
But like I said, it's such an innate feeling. And everyone's got those demons. Everyone's got a bit of pain in them. And I promise you, no matter where you are at in life, how old, gender, glam, not glam, boxing is for you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak with you, darling.
Thank you for having me.
I feel very inspired. If only I could go to a gym at the moment.
You're very motivational. I love it. Thank you again, babes.
Thank you.
Take care, buddy.
Bye.
Bye, darling.
Bye.
Oh, what a lovely chat.
Yeah, what a lovely chat. And I do feel like that. It's quite hard, actually, hearing you guys talk about that, because I was in such a good place with it, going out and going to the gym and working out before I had my accident.
When you have an injury, though, babe, you can't try and rush. You know what
I know,
I mean?
But it's depressing because you think, like, oh, you'll get over it.
Yeah.
And I will. It just feels like it's just going on and on.
But that's where the mind's a funny thing, actually. Do you know what I mean? Just in that short period.
Yeah,
you start,
3 weeks.
It's a crazy thing, isn't it? Because in the grand scheme of things, it's nothing. You'll get back into it in no time.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right, it seems like it's a huge thing.
Yeah.
But no, great chat. So
very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. Let's get ready for our little pre-record. I'm excited to hear all things Eurovision.
Yeah, well, let's listen to a little bit of, well, not a little bit, the whole thing. My chat with...
just a little trail coming up. And then we're going to go straight in.
A little bit of Noah Carell from Israel.
A little bit of Noah.
FUBAR Radio presents
Callum McSwiggan.
It's the amazing Abigailia Shimon.
I lost my virginity on prom night in a cornfield in Ohio.
Wow.
And that is the most American thing I've ever done.
That is the best thing I've ever heard. Yeah. What a way to lose it.
Yeah.
In a cornfield.
Yeah, we had a blanket.
I remember texting a friend afterwards and I was like, it didn't taste like I thought it was going to. That was my confusion.
Harriet Rose.
I'm joined by the wonderful Ray Black. I woke up to my mum listening to my music and singing along to it. And there's one that's like, it's very explicit. And she was singing along and vibing to it. And
oh,
I was like,
yeah.
To my sister in the next room, like, oh my God, I can't believe she's listening to this song. Like, this song is about sex. She waltzes into the room and she's like, there's nothing you're doing that I haven't done before. I was like, oh
my God.
So we're all learning new things.
There's nothing God. You're singing about I haven't done before, so it's fine.
Oh my God.
Joey Page.
I'm joined by Marika Hackman, whose splendid new album, Any Human Friend, is out now. You are just explicitly honest and quite graphic in some places sexually. And do you think it might also be quite difficult when it comes to dating and stuff? Because someone can like basically listen through all this explicit stuff.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't thought about that.
There you go.
Great, yeah. I mean,
sorry
might,
to bring that to your door.
Real turn off.
Yeah, yeah.
Access all areas.
Diane Buswell.
Thank
Strictly.
You for
Hello.
Hello. Thank
Hi,
you so
guys.
Much for coming in.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're dating Joe.
Yes.
He was your dance partner last year, right?
Yes, he
so,
was.
I always wanted to ask, who put on who first?
It was one of those things, like, obviously during the show, we were honestly so, so busy with learning a routine every week. And it wasn't until after the series that we were like, oh my gosh, we really did enjoy spending all this time together.
So
and
cute.
And we ended up, you know, being together.
It is very, and it's cute that it's managed to succeed outside of the show.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Yes, it is Fubar Radio, and this is Access All Areas, and we are live. So, Stephen, tell me, give me a little bit of preamble, babes. We've got a little pre-record going on. You're as happy as a pig in shit. It's Eurovision.
Of course. This little pre-record is with Noah Carell, and she is Israel's entry for Eurovision this year. And, this is all about her journey. This was done before she came to Liverpool, so little follow her on social media, and you'll be able to see a bit more info.
Oh, I'm excited. Let's have a little listen.
Noah Carell, Israel's Eurovision entry. Hello and welcome to Fubar.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm doing great. How about you?
Yeah, really good. I'm so excited. I am a Eurovision nut. I have to admit it straight up. I love it. I love your song. Obsessed.
Thank you so much.
I'm doing the unicorn sign for anyone that can't see. Tell me, getting involved in Eurovision, you were one of the first acts kind of announced, right?
I think it was the first one, actually.
The first one, yeah. So that's been a long wait, really, isn't it? Most people didn't even know until sort of January, February.
Yes, it's been a long journey. We announced that I'm going to represent Israel, I think 10 months ago, which is a long, long time ago.
Really long.
It's been a roller coaster of mixed feelings, I have to say, from stress to excited, from a sad to happy, everything together, because it's a very, very big deal. I'm a huge fan of the Eurovision, and it's such an honor for me to represent my country and to be part of this incredible stage. We announced about it long ago, so it's been a roller coaster, but I'm so happy that I am a part of it. With all the stress and the emotions, I'm still very honored and excited to be part of the Eurovision and represent my country, obviously.
And now it's only weeks away. People are loving Unicorn. How are you feeling with only literally weeks to go until you'll be in Liverpool rehearsing and getting on stage and doing it?
It's crazy. I feel like I'm doing it for my whole life. I'm working on this 3 minutes basically for I don't know almost yeah every day 24/7 rehearsals all the time, dancing, singing, everything together, a lot of events, interviews, all of that. But
do you enjoy that, all the pre stuff, or is it hard work?
Yes, I love it. I'm so passionate about that, and to think that I'm gonna perform in front of millions of people all over the globe, it's amazing, and I can't wait.
Is it quite overwhelming? I spoke to Monica from Lithuania earlier this week, and she said it's kind of too big to even consider, really, isn't it? You can't even think about how many people.
I don't know if I can really understand until like the end, or even after the Eurovision, that I did something that big. I don't know if I can really understand and realize, but I'm so excited.
But you are a professional singer and you've been doing this for a while. Like, yeah. Do you still get nervous? Are you nervous?
Yes. So I started when I was 13. I'm 22 now. So it's been a long time of career. And I know how to deal with stress, with excitement and all of that. But still, the Eurovision, it's such a big deal and such a huge stage and a huge platform to perform of, like, think about it. It's really a millions of people all over the world.
160 million, I think.
Yes. I didn't want to say that because I feel so nervous, but yeah. So, I'm still getting nervous before that, of course. But it's a good excitement. I don't want to say nervous. I want to say excited.
Fair. Well, yeah. Well, there's a lot to be excited about. Have you ever been to Liverpool before?
Never. It's my first time.
What are you expecting? What, I don't know what an international audience thinks about you, Liverpool.
I don't know. I hope I'll have time to do like tour and see the place and go around. Mm-hmm. I really love food. I'm all about food. So like to eat and to have fun. Yep. I know it's intense rehearsals and everything, obviously. But still to have fun, to look around and to see Liverpool.
You mentioned food, and I saw on social media that Mae Muller, the UK act, was like, I've got a crush on Noah Carell.
Oh, my God. She's so cute.
So maybe I think she mentioned going out for dinner if you've got time. Is that something that you'd like to do?
I'd love to. I love her. I think she's amazing. I love her song. And I have to say, this year, it's all about women empowerment, and I love it. I'm so happy to be part of it. I think it's so important, and to represent the women a little bit more. So yeah, I'm all about to do dinner with everybody, to meet friends. Why not?
I think it is quite cute. I think you're right. Actually, the female empowerment element has definitely sort of popped through this year, hasn't it? Like I've mentioned Mae and Monica, there's you, Loreen, obviously, coming back from Sweden. Is it a competition for you? Do you really want to win, or are you more in it for the experience and seeing what happens?
So it's mixed. From one end, of course, I want to win. I want to bring honor to my country. I want to win to myself as well. But I think that today, I don't know if to be like number one, it's winning. Like, what is winning? For me, winning, it's also to have this experience, to expose myself to a lot of people all over the world, to represent my country proudly, to be part of something that big. I think this is the winning. And I'm going to work really, really hard to win, obviously, but there are things that I can't control, and I'm going to focus in what that I can't control.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, well, exactly. And I think that's the best way to be with Eurovision, because once you've done your performance, it's done, isn't it? There's really nothing more you can do after that. It's down to the audience, right? It's a vote.
You have only 3 minutes, and after that, it's not you anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And I've read you're not the only Israeli act to be participating in Eurovision this year. Netta is also going to be involved.
Netta is coming back.
Yeah. Yes. Have you heard about that? What do you think?
I was so happy to hear that because she's my friend. I love her. When he just announced that I'm going to represent Israel in the Eurovision, so I called her immediately and I was like, Netta, what I need to do? What do you think? I
help.
Need to do it, to go for it. And she was like, go for it 100%. And I was like, okay, if you know, you know. And I'm so happy that she'll be there with me. It makes me feel really, really happy.
Yeah, hopefully you'll get the chance. So she's going to be performing as part of, I think it's the Liverpool songbook. I hope I've got that right. On the main show in the final. Do you think you'll get the chance to see her while you're there? Or
of course. Yeah, for sure.
I'm hoping to see some social media pictures of that. So tell us. Tell us a bit about, while I've still got you, a bit about Unicorn and the song itself. It's obviously become, like I was doing this, this has become a bit of a, a bit of a, you've got a dance routine basically, right? And in the video, it's incredible. It's like some sort of mix of like Jennifer Lopez, like, I mean, it's brilliant. Tell us about how the song came about, how it came to you, what happened.
Yeah. So think about it. I have only 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
To bring myself, my character, who is Noah, my culture, my country, everything into only 3 minutes. And it's a challenge. That's for sure. I love challenges. So I said, let's go. Let's figure it out. And it's a journey, you know. I really wanted to bring a strong message. It was really important to me. And I think Unicorn is all about self-empowerment. Mm-hmm. It's really the freedom to be who you are, to say what you want, to dress the way you want, to dance the way you feel. And today, people will always have things to say about you, about everything, in the social media, everywhere. And Unicorn, it's about not letting anyone hide your colors. I can tell you about myself. When I just started my career, I got a lot of criticism and bad feedback, you know, as a woman, as a young artist. Mm-hmm. And I was only 13, so it made me feel different, left out, like I'm not belong, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think in this moment, I found this horn of a unicorn. You know, unicorn has like this horn on its forehead. Yeah. We can all see it. And to embrace our uniqueness, our differences. That's what makes us beautiful and different. And this is Unicorn. So this is a message that was important for me to say and to use.
And it comes across. It's one of my faves this year.
Thank you so much.
I'm extremely hopeful for you. Are you in the first or second semifinal?
The first one, number 9.
First. Oh, damn. I'm going to see the second one. So I won't see you there. But finally, do you have any of your other Eurovision competitors this year? Any songs that stand out for you? Which are your favorites?
So I love UK. I think she's amazing. And I really love the song. It's very, very catchy and cool and young. I love Sweden. Obviously, Doreen is amazing. And the song is really, really good. I love Finland. I think it's very different and unique and fresh. There are a lot of good competitions this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a tight one, I think. Really can't wait to see what everyone does. Noah, thank you so much. Best of luck in Liverpool.
Thank you so much.
I'm gonna be around and about. Hopefully I'll see you somewhere, looking somewhere, performing somewhere, doing a surprise here and there.
I hope so too.
So Liverpool's gonna be banging in a few weeks. Cannot wait. Cool. Thank you so much, Noah. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Enjoy your journey.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
Great chat, babes.
Living the dream, doing the chatting with Eurovision artists. And next week I'll be there, so.
I mean, yeah, he's had 3 weeks on the bounce of Eurovision vibes and there you are. Are you excited to get out there? Of course you are.
Yeah, really excited.
How are you getting there? Because there's strikes, isn't there? This is now the big thing.
Yeah, so we're going up on the Thursday. No strikes on that day. And then we're coming back on the Sunday. No strikes on that day. So it's Friday and Saturday, the other strikes. But I mean, I think it'll probably cause problems and there'll be issues. So I have to wait and see if I can even get home after Eurovision. But yeah, we're getting up on the Thursday. We've got places to stay, got tickets for various things booked. Loads of stuff going on. So I'm looking forward to it.
You're going on a manhunt, Stephen.
Look, if I kiss a few boys, who's going to say anything?
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
And Katy Perry's, do you know what I mean? She would embrace that, and she's coronation this weekend. You'll be seeing her Sunday. I mean, she kisses girls.
I've got quite a, I guess, not near the mic. I've got quite a funny week coming up, really. Quite a lot going on.
Yeah, from coronation to Eurovision.
Yeah, I'm dead excited about it.
Living your best life, absolutely. Because I think there's, I was going to say a little football thing going on. I think it's a big football thing, but forgive me if I'm wrong.
Wrong person to ask, Bob.
Yeah, I know. FA Cup final. Thank you, Maddie, the producer. Because I know exactly when Eurovision is the FA Cup final.
Right.
So that's going to be affected by the strike. So
jeez.
Everyone's getting affected here, whether you're into footballs or bowls.
Disco balls,
yeah. But I'm excited to hear all about your travels. But before you go to Eurovision, I'll be seeing you after the coronation next week.
You will, yeah. So I'll be giving you the lowdown on that.
Remember, if you do bump into Arrow, hands off. Tell him Bobby
you're not
loves
there,
him.
Bob, so I can do what I like.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to be a gentleman about it. He's going to look lovely in his suit. But
I can't wait
for next week's show. What is going to be going down? What will we be talking about in a week?
Yeah, geez, there'll be a lot to talk about.
But on that note, thank you for listening, guys. Great show as always. And we'll be back next Wednesday. We'll see you at 6 p.m. Bye, guys.
Goodbye.